Experience the power of hands-on learning with CloudShare. Want to build a truly impactful customer education program? Hands-on learning is key, but traditional labs are both expensive and cumbersome. Introducing CloudShare, the cloud-based platform that lets you create secure, scalable training labs in just minutes. Imagine giving your customers, partners, and employees a safe, hands-on environment to learn your software, creating compelling, engaging experiences that wow your users, eliminating the hassle and the cost of managing physical labs. CloudShare empowers you to deploy customized learning environments in just minutes, provide access to the latest software versions and configurations, track progress and gather valuable insights, and even more, collaborate with your students. With CloudShare, your training program goes from ordinary to extraordinary. Check them out today at cloudshare.com.
That's one grade better than D-Lab. This is the Customer Education Lab, and I'm your host, Adam Avramescu. Today, we are going to look at something cool, interesting, innovative. I don't know. Let's find out. So what we did was we have been exploring this AI technology called Notebook LM. It's by Google, and what it allows you to do is take several different sources and import them to be able to interact with, whether you want to analyze it, to ask questions of it. You were talking to the text, sort of like what a lot of people are doing with these custom GPTs that they've been building. So really interesting technology. One thing that it can do, though, snazzy little feature, is it can create an example podcast. And if you listen to a lot of podcasts that have been playing with AI, you might have heard some examples just like this. If you haven't, well, then I guess this is your first. Maybe you'll hear more in the future. I thought it would be interesting not to just to play the episode for you, but rather walk you a little bit through the process. So what we're going to do today is we're sort of going to do you remember that show Mystery Science Theater 3000, where they were playing an old movie and then they had the narrators jumping in to make snarky comments? Well, I'm not necessarily going to make snarky comments. No, I will make snarky comments. But in addition to making snarky comments, I will also take you a little bit behind the scenes of creating this AI-generated podcast. I'll give some interpretations of what I think the narrators were saying, my opinions about it. But also, just so you know, this is the fourth different one that I tried creating with some different prompts. So it'll be interesting to pick up on some of the ways that you need to interact with a tool like this to get a quality output. So with all that said, why don't we transition into this Notebook LM generated podcast? Take it over, AI hosts.
All right, strap in, everybody. We're going deep on customer education today. Been digging through tons of podcasts and interviews, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And there's gold in there, pure gold. Stuff you need to hear.
Sounds like quite the deep dive.
You know it.
Yep.
And to make sense of it all, I've got a sharp mind with me today. Someone to help us connect the dots.
I'm excited to be here and unpack it all. Always up for a challenge.
I just want to say I feel attacked. They really nailed us on that whole throat clearing thing that happens at the beginning of every podcast.
So what's the plan for this deep dive? We're going to boil all this expert advice down.
Oh, nice.
Into three actionable takeaways. Things you can use to win at customer education.
Okay, so this was actually something I prompted it to do. In my prompt this time, because earlier we fed it all the transcripts from this past year and I was asking it to make actionable takeaways or original insights. This time I asked for three clear, actionable takeaways that someone could implement. So let's see how well they do.
Not the usual fluff, okay?
Okay.
We're going deeper.
I'm intrigued. Let's go.
First up, accessibility. Remember Sharon Castillo? Episode 124. She made a great point about accessibility.
Oh, yes. She was great.
It's not just good practice. It's smart business.
Yeah. And with her experience, she knows firsthand. Raising four kids with disabilities, that gives you a unique perspective.
Absolutely. She gets it. And it's not just about meeting specific needs. It's about a better experience for everyone. Think about captions on Zoom.
Oh, yeah, captions.
Sure. Helps folks with hearing issues, but also anyone in a noisy spot or if you want to go back and review something later.
Yeah, like a transcript, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's more than captions, you know. Avoid flashing animations. That helps people with sensory overload, but it helps everyone focus better.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And then there's the business side. A bigger, more engaged audience means more people learning. Better product adoption.
Makes sense.
Better bottom line. Everyone wins.
Totally.
I think they were doing okay until they got up to that last point, because a couple of the tips that they gave about accessibility were more or less what Sharon said in the episode that they're referencing. However, when we were talking about the point about having a broader learner base and ultimately that being better for accessibility, the point that we were making was that as you grow your business, you're inherently growing towards a more diverse set of learners who have different needs, including accessibility needs. So just like you would address different learner preferences, different organization sizes, different customer segments, you would address different accessibility needs. Now, I don't think the hosts here quite got that point. They descended a little bit into generic talk about business value. I kind of wonder how much that's because this LM was trained on podcasts where hosts just kind of devolve into that more general prattle.
Speaking of wins, let's hit point two.
Okay.
It's all about the why bother, you know? Jesse Evans, episode 126, was all about this.
Oh, yeah, I remember Jesse.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy. Why'd he say it like that? That's so sus.
You can't just explain features. People need to know how it solves their problems, how it gets them to their goals.
It's like knowing where the keys are on a piano. Doesn't mean you can play a song, right?
Right.
You got to know why each key is there, the sound it makes, the feeling it gives you.
Well, so like sort of, right? The analogy that they're making here about the piano, I don't think exactly matches the point that Jesse was making in that episode. It sounds good when you don't really think about it too hard, but this is something that LLMs tend to do. They fill in the blank with the next most reasonable sounding thing that matches a pattern. And here, I think a piano analogy or a music analogy, it seems like a reasonable thing to bring up because Jesse's talking about making sure that you're not just creating content, that you're actually creating content that solves for customers' jobs to be done, right? So they know not just what they're doing in the product, but why they're doing that thing in the product. His episode was about collaborating with product teams who often have these goals. But I do play the piano. And when you learn to play the piano, you do have to learn where the notes are, but you don't have to know why every note sounds like what it sounds like to be able to play a song. You have to be able to read sheet music or play by ear. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that analogy exactly.
I like that. Customer education needs to tap into that. Not just the how-to, but the why.
Yeah, it's the why that unlocks the potential. How it fits into their lives, their work, their dreams.
Exactly.
Instead of here's how to schedule a meeting,
yeah,
it's here's how scheduling meetings better frees up your time for the big stuff.
Love it.
You know, the stuff that moves your business forward.
That one made more sense.
It's all about framing it the right way, showing them the value, the impact.
The why bother?
Yes, the why bother.
Again, I kind of find this interesting because they're looking for a narrative conclusion. They're about to move on to point three. And as they close out point two, they want something to come to a satisfying narrative arc. So the fact that they end on this, the why bother? Yeah, the why bother? Well, they're not saying anything different than what they have been saying for the entirety of that clip. They're rephrasing a little bit, but they're doing it in a way that makes it sound as though the point is stronger. Do we do that as podcast hosts? I wonder.
Okay, point three. We're taking a page from Trimble's playbook here. Their LearnFest, episode 144.
LearnFest, yeah. Great example of building a learning culture, inside and out.
It's employees at every level sharing their passions, creating this community.
Totally.
What I loved was how it broke down walls between departments, people learning from each other, even in industries not known for being cutting edge, you know?
And that's the key, isn't it? When learning's a priority internally, it sends a message to customers. It says, hey, we're invested in your success.
You got it.
I do think that was accurate. So this is something that, at least in my experience, AI can do fairly well. These tools can take an existing conversation or an existing body of text and summarize and draw out the key points a little bit better.
And that message, it attracts talent, fuels innovation, leads to happier customers.
It's a learning ecosystem and everyone benefits. from employees to customers to the company itself. It's beautiful.
And that wraps up our first act, folks. 3 points down, a whole world of insights to go.
Take a minute, everyone. Soak it in.
Yeah.
What stands out? How can you use this in your own work?
We'll be back soon to dive even deeper into creating amazing customer education experiences.
Well, it sounds like that's where they want us to put an ad break, so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Clouseau. Are you tired of spending countless hours producing software videos and writing help documentation for your customers? What you need is Clouseau. Simply upload a rough screen recording of your product. Clouseau will instantly transform it into a studio-quality explainer video and a step-by-step how-to article. Clouseau handles all steps of the video production process, from writing your video script to generating a professional AI voiceover. It adds stunning zoom effects, highlights, and branding to your videos too. You can also translate your content into over 30 languages in just one click. And if your videos ever go out of date, there's no need to remake them from scratch. Clouseau makes it super easy to replace outdated clips and voiceovers. 10x your video production speed today at Clouseau.io. That's Clouseau.io.
Okay, so we've been reviewing this Notebook LM episode. I originally prompted it to give me 3 points from across the transcripts of the 2024 C-Lab episodes that it analyzed. And in doing that, it seems to have given us 3 points, and then it started wrapping up. But then they said, now we're going to have many more points afterwards. So now they're starting to deviate from the prompt that I originally gave it. Let's see where it goes next.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
Okay, wait, so actually that was interesting because I didn't prompt it to put an ad break in there. I guess I could have. Maybe I should try that on another go around. But none of the previous prompts that I gave it caused it to do an ad break like that. I wonder if it added one in because it analyzes a lot of podcasts that it has access to in its source data, and they break for ads like that. So occasionally it's just putting in there like that.
We've got those three big ideas, right? Accessibility, the why bother, and that learning culture thing.
Right.
So it did remember the three main points. That's good.
Right. But how do we put those into action? Creating a learning ecosystem sounds great, but like, where do you even start?
It's now moving into something else that I had prompted it to do. I asked it for the three key takeaways, but I also asked it to make them actionable in a way that someone in customer education could really pick up and use. So let's see where they go with that.
Yeah, it can be a lot. Remember Brian Alblinger, episode 127?
Oh, yeah.
He talked about customer education and community better together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Break down those walls, one-stop shop for all things learning.
Like that safari analogy he used. Customers going on a safari through different platforms, different logins, just to find an answer.
Yeah, painful.
It makes no sense. They should have one place.
I didn't remember Brian making an analogy about a safari, so I went and I looked up the original transcript that this podcast is pulling from, and he does say the word safari. He says, I'm going to quote here, "We sort of force them to go on the safari to find their answer. And I think what we really want to do is one experience, one place, with one login, with one search across all of it." So he is talking about what the narrators are summarizing here, and I think they're hitting the point well, but maybe I'm being a little bit nitpicky here, describing it as an analogy that's a little bit overblown. What I think is more interesting is that, remember, a moment ago, the narrators here have already given what they claimed were their 3 points. And they said that they were now going to make it actionable. But what they've done is they've actually gone and started summarizing a completely different episode and drawing the key points from that. Brian's episode is not about how to make the other episodes quoted, like the Trimble episode or Sharon's episode or Jesse's episode, for instance, actionable. It's just a completely different topic. So there's a little bit of risk here. Again, in putting this in podcast form, it can make things sound narratively satisfying, but it might not actually be making a very cogent point. And I think that's a risk.
All the resources right there.
Exactly. Documentation, forums, courses, everything.
The whole shebang.
Makes everyone happy. Customers get a good experience. The company saves money.
Engagement goes up.
Community thrives.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I say this with full self-awareness that human podcast hosts do this too. They may just be riffing and repeating themselves a little bit.
But okay, how do we get there?
You need a strategy.
Okay.
But not like a rigid plan, more like a shared understanding, you know?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it.
A roadmap, not a rule book.
Exactly. No. Bring everyone to the table. Support marketing, product, community folks.
Everyone touching the customer. Get on the same page.
Yep. Once you have that, you can start breaking down walls. Build bridges between community, content, strategy.
Okay.
Maybe integrate your community platform with your learning system.
Mm.
Create content specifically for the community.
And that's when the good stuff happens.
Right.
Engage learners. They become active in the community.
They contribute.
Bring in more learners, and so on.
The magic cycle. Learning and community feeding each other.
Okay.
I think what it's doing right now is it's drawing back and forth from the episode that Brian did about the connection between community and learning, and the one that Dave and I did about the importance of strategy, or how people misunderstand strategy. And you can hear it in some ways. There was even a list that it gave a moment ago where it said something like learning, community, and strategy, as if those were three different departments or three different functions. So it's kind of interesting how it's synthesizing some very imparallel concepts into a parallel list.
But let's be real. Not every company has unlimited resources to build this massive integrated experience.
True, my man. True.
True. But you can still make that community content connection strong, even starting small.
So what can we do? Give me some tips, something actionable.
Easy one. User-generated content in your community.
Oh, yeah.
Blog posts, forums, tutorials, whatever. Let users share what they know.
Yeah, valuable content. And it lets the community be active. They're not just watching anymore, they're participating.
Exactly. It's not just one person talking, it's a conversation.
And you know what else is a conversation? A podcast!
Which goes back to that engage and empower idea.
Yeah.
What else can we do?
Promote your community within the learning content. At the end of a course, link to the forum.
Little bridges, connecting it all.
Exactly. Huh? It doesn't have to be fancy or expensive.
Sometimes simple is best.
Great customer education, it's not about big budgets, it's about creativity, you know, and being customer focused.
Absolutely.
That felt like a missed opportunity. I'd originally prompted it to see if it'd come up with wholly original points based on the transcripts that it was analyzing. And when here they're talking about creativity, could have been a good opportunity to give some sort of invented example if it was able to come up with that. Now, maybe I needed to prompt it better, but it felt like if there was any opportunity to actually do that, that would have been the place. What is an example of someone being creative and scrappy in customer education with limited budget? Was there perhaps an example given in a different episode? Was there one that they could have come up with? Is there something that they could have analogized? But instead, they just went back and repeated that you have to be creative.
Which brings us to feedback. Got to hear from the customers.
So important.
But there's so many ways to get feedback. Surveys, focus groups, tracking discussions. Where do you even start?
Yeah, lots of options. You can even track support tickets, social media, see what people are saying. It's like
direct line to your audience.
Exactly. It's not enough to just collect it. You got to do something with it.
Right.
Analyze it. Look for trends. Use that to improve your content, your programs.
Always be learning. Always be changing.
I feel like that probably wasn't the first time where on a podcast, a man interrupted a woman who was making a more salient point.
Exactly. It's about continuous improvement. And the customer is at the center.
Which is where data comes in.
Yes.
We can use data to make real decisions.
Yeah.
Not just going with our gut.
Okay, so what are we measuring? First, define those KPIs. What are we trying to achieve here?
Yeah.
Is it course completions, knowledge retention, happy customers?
Product adoption, maybe.
Lifetime value, yeah. Set those goals so you can see how you're doing.
Again, that was a little bit of a weird list, wasn't it? They went from these very, very operational, tactical KPIs to customer lifetime value, which, you know, for those of us who practice in the field, we know that's actually one of the most difficult things to attribute to customer education. I don't know if there was an episode that it analyzed where we talked about that dynamic, but we talk about it fairly often on the show. So this is one of those things where I think if I, you know, just generated this transcript and gave it to someone who was new to customer education, that might sound good. That might sound like an intuitive set of things to go out and measure, but without any sort of caveats or framing, I think it becomes a little bit dangerous to hear that list together.
So it's like choosing the right tool, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hammer, screwdriver, measuring tape.
You got to know what you need.
Once you know what you're measuring, pick the tools to get the data. Your LMS, your community platform, your CRM, even those fancy third-party tools.
And here they're fairly accurate. Now, for this next part, I really want to emphasize that I did not edit this to make the pause you're about to hear longer.
But then, you got to make sense of it all, right? It's not just numbers in a spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's about finding the story in the data, the trends, the insights.
Use that to make decisions.
Right. It's data-driven intelligence. And it's not a one-time thing. It's ongoing.
Always keeping your finger on the pulse.
So again, I think that's what I would describe as talking around the point without really making a point. They told you that data was important and that you have to analyze it, but they didn't really give examples of what data to analyze or what conclusions to draw from it. They just kind of told you it was important over and over.
But hey, we've been in the weeds a bit. Time to look ahead.
I agree. We've got a solid foundation now. Let's see what the future holds.
Imagine having all, guess all, of your learning challenges solved. With Docebo's Learning Suite, an AI-powered LMS built for enterprise, you can tackle any challenge. You can easily create and manage content, deliver training, and measure the business impact of your programs. Docebo is built for customers, partners, and employees alike, with dozens of integrations to embed directly in the flow of work. Check out Docebo today at docebo.com.
Back again for the deep dive.
That wasn't my edit. That was straight from the output. So I guess they maybe wanted to have another ad break in there. Thanks, sponsors.
We've talked accessibility, the why bother, building that learning community, and using data to, you know, make smart moves.
Right, right.
So it's interesting because they're still remembering the three key points that they made up front. And that was a big part of the prompt that I originally gave it, three key points. And they're remembering as well that they gave you some actionable advice to interpret the data. They seem perhaps to be forgetting the part where they talked about the connection between learning, community, and strategy. But I'm wondering if that's because they're conflating the advice that Brian gave in his episode about community with the example from Trimble about building that Learn Fest.
Now, what's next? What's coming down the line for customer education?
Ooh, the future. It's exciting. And one thing's for sure, AI is going to be a big part of it.
Well, yeah, of course you would say AI is the future, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? No, I'm being serious. What is interesting is that when I've interacted with Notebook LM, there's two ways that you can do it, right? You can generate these fakey-fake podcasts, and you can also ask it questions. You load in all your sources, and you can interact with it. And I've asked it questions like, based on these transcripts, what are additional topics that you think would be interesting to the audience of C-Lab to cover? And it will also, at that point, say, AI, you should talk about AI. So I wonder, is there something about AI just in general being a hot topic about the future in 2025, or in general being a trend that people are following, or perhaps even something that Dave and I talked about in the year-end recap episode when we talked about what we were looking forward to in the next year, that it's drawing from here? Or does AI simply have a pro-AI bias? I don't know.
AI, huh? That seems to be the buzzword everywhere these days.
It is, and for good reason. It's changing how we do learning and development, big time.
Okay, so AI is personalizing our shopping, filtering our spam, even driving our cars. How is it shaking things up in customer education?
Well, think about it. We've got these AI chatbots popping up everywhere, right? On websites, customer service. They can be a huge help in customer education, too.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Instant support, right. Answer common questions, help with tech problems, even walk learners through, like, a whole course.
Ooh, so like a 247 teaching assistant.
Exactly. Always there to help if you get stuck. That frees up the humans to focus on the tougher stuff.
Makes sense. More efficient, faster help. But AI can do even more, right? What about creating the actual content?
Oh, yeah. There are tools now that can make quizzes, summaries, even whole courses. From stuff you already have.
Whoa, that's wild. Saves time, saves money. But, okay, how do we know it's good quality? I can just imagine these robot-written articles all stiff and boring.
Right, you got to be careful. The key is it's got to be a team effort. AI can help with ideas, first drafts, tailoring things for different people. But the human experts, they're the ones making sure it's accurate, engaging, you know, actually good.
So AI is not replacing us. It's helping us. Working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
I think now we're getting very meta, but this is true, I think, what they said. And also, somehow seems like pro-AI propaganda. But no, I mean, I actually agree with what they said. I'm not sure if they're drawing from an episode where we talked about that or if, you know, this is just the general talk track around AI. But when it comes to some of these more repetitive automated tasks, absolutely AI can be helpful. But when we talk about who should be creating content and how we make sure that that content is high quality so that we avoid a garbage in, garbage out problem, especially when that content is going to be delivered via the types of chatbots that these narrators are talking about, we really have to make sure that the content is high quality. We have to make sure that it's written with enough voice and tone that it doesn't just sound completely generic and that the content itself is accurate. So that's where humans still play a huge role. I agree with that point.
And remember, it's not about just automating everything. It's about using AI to make learning better for everyone.
All right, right. It's about supporting learners,
yeah.
Not just like replacing human interaction altogether.
Now you're getting it. And that leads us to another exciting thing, personalized learning.
Oh, yeah, we touched on that before. I'm really interested in this. It's like everyone gets their own custom learning journey, right? Tailored to their needs and goals.
That's the dream. And it's becoming more real every day thanks to data and AI. We can ditch the one-size-fits-all and create these learning paths that adapt to each person.
Okay, paint me a picture. The platform knows your preferences, how you learn best, what you want to achieve. It suggests stuff you'll actually care about, changes the pace if you're going too fast or too slow, even gives you personalized feedback.
Exactly. And this can be simple or super complex. Maybe it just recommends stuff based on what you've done before. Or it builds a whole learning path that changes as you go, based on how you're doing.
That's amazing. No more guessing, just a learning experience built just for you. But okay, be honest. Is that really possible for a lot of people?
Yeah.
It sounds like really complicated to set up.
It's definitely a challenge. But the payoff is huge. More engagement, deeper learning.
Better results.
And learners feel empowered. They're in control.
Everyone wins.
That was so interesting. It completely edged up to a really valid point, which is that when we talk about the possibilities of AI as far as content personalization goes, we know that a ton of stuff will be possible in the future. But what does it take to actually pragmatically implement that level of customization today and do it with some trust and security? Well, and the answer is that is incredibly complicated, but once the narrator asked the other narrator that question, she kind of deflected, right, and started talking again about the value of being able to do something like that. So they didn't really answer the question. I mean, let's face it, it is something that I've heard a lot of people, a lot of humans, go on podcasts and talk about the future that way without really being able to talk about how it will be done. And that's a problem with a lot of thought leadership out there. But I don't know, again, if the AI is doing this because that's how it hears people talk about the future of AI learning applications, or because in the sources that I provided it, nobody has actually answered that question with a lot of fidelity, because this is still a really emerging area of AI application.
But with all this talk of AI personalization, I mean, it's exciting, but can be a little overwhelming, right? Especially for someone just starting out in customer education.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the shiny new tech, forget the basics.
So back to basics.
Kind of. It always comes down to the customer. What do they need? How can we create learning that's engaging, relevant, and actually makes a difference?
It's got to be human-centered, even with all this cool tech.
Exactly. And you got to keep learning yourself, experimenting, adapting. This field is always changing. Stay curious, stay flexible, and always focus on bringing value to your customers.
Love it.
Would y'all like that if we started using that as our sign-off? That was kind of nice.
Stay curious, stay flexible. That's a good motto for life, I think, not just customer education.
It is. And remember, you're not alone. There's a whole community of passionate people in this field,
yeah,
ready to share to help you out.
This has been fantastic. We've covered so much. Accessibility, the future of AI, and everything in between.
And we've only just scratched the surface. There's a whole universe of customer education out there to explore.
Keep learning, keep experimenting, keep pushing the boundaries.
Okay, that one did sound actually very close to our actual sign-off, so I wonder if it took that from the fact that in most of our transcripts, we end with the regular C-Lab sign-off.
Until next time, happy diving.
Okay, that was a weird ending, but that was actually the end of the audio that it generated. So what do we take from all of this? I think that with AI, we have some amazing technologies now. The fact that it can produce a podcast that sounds like a real podcast, more or less, with actually a lot of the pluses and pitfalls of podcasts, with, you know, a little bit of circular conversation, a little bit of mansplaining, a little bit of, you know, pausing and filler words and things like that. I mean, it does sound in many ways like something that you could subscribe to in your actual life. But on the other hand, the way that it was interpreting the source material, it did sometimes get things wrong. It did sometimes take these completely in parallel concepts and try to blend them together. And often it circled on a very surface level without really being able to go deep, even though it was calling itself a deep dive. So I don't know exactly what to take from this, except that on one hand, we now have access to very powerful technology. We have a responsibility to use it ethically and effectively. And by ethically, I mean not just putting it out into the world without reviewing it or letting it, you know, hallucinate things that are either not factually true or are just, you know, kind of bad superficial takeaways. And by effectively, I mean, and here I'll take some responsibility here, like learning how to prompt these things so that they give you quality output. As I mentioned, this was the fourth attempt that I took at getting it to generate a podcast that I was even somewhat happy with. I'll share an example in a moment of a previous draft that it did that I found hilarious. It was a wild hallucination, but there were things like strange audio artifacts that would pop in. The hosts would say things to each other that didn't really make sense for them to say to each other. Just all sorts of strange things. And in a lot of cases as well, you know, they would give us a little bit of a hodgepodge of, again, very high-level takeaways from some of the different episodes that they were summarizing without necessarily bringing them together in a more coherent or cogent way. So from an actual content and substance perspective, I think AI is good at summarizing, but I don't think for fresh original insights, it's going to be taking our jobs just yet. So with that said, I am going to play a little bit of a bonus right now, which was a clip from one of the previous drafts. Give it a listen.
It's the heart and soul of customer education.
Speaking of heart and soul.
You know, I have a story to tell.
Oh, do tell.
This one involves a clown, a customer education program, and a surprising lesson about empathy.
A clown. Now this I have to hear.
So I was at a customer education conference a while back.
One of those big ones.
And the keynote speaker was, get this, a former clown.
A clown?
Like a real red-nosed, big-shoed clown.
That's different. Not exactly what you'd expect at a customer education conference.
I know, right? I was pretty skeptical going in.
I bet.
But this guy was amazing.
What did he talk about?
He talked about how clowning taught him the importance of understanding your audience.
Okay.
Anticipating their needs and adapting your performance based on their reactions.
Huh. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Clowns are masters of reading a room.
And adjusting their act to get the best response.
So how did he tie this to customer education?
He said, we need to approach our learners with that same level of empathy and understanding.
I see where he's going with this.
We need to see the world through their eyes, anticipate their challenges.
And tailor our content to meet their specific needs.
Exactly.
It's a great reminder that customer education is all about human connection.
At its core.
It's not just about information transfer.
It's about building relationships and fostering a sense of shared understanding.
Sometimes it takes a clown to drive that point home.
It really does.
Well, that's definitely a story I'll remember.
It highlights the importance of staying open to new ideas.
New perspectives.
You never know where inspiration will come from.
That's so true.
And that's what makes this field so dynamic and rewarding.
It is. There's always something new to learn.
So I think that was probably the way that I broke Notebook LM the most, but there were some other funny things that happened throughout the different episodes that I generated. So this has been a wild tour through the world of AI-generated content creation, and I hope you enjoyed the behind the scenes, as well as a trip down memory lane of some of the great episodes that we had this year. Thanks to Brian and Jesse and Sharon and the folks from Trimble, everyone else whose content was used in the creation of this episode. And as we always say on C-Lab, stay curious, stay flexible, and always remember how you're bringing value to your customers. Thanks, everyone.